and keep my commandments and what? Do them. Go with me to verse 9. Look in your Bibles. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now, if you take off in Nehemiah chapter number 2, you'll find that Nehemiah was so burdened, his countenance was sad in the presence of the king. And he says it this way, I was never sad before in his presence. Are you a Christian that could say your countenance has never been down in front of the world? Honestly, most of the church, when they step outside, if somebody you work with figured out you were heard that you were saved, they'd be shocked. Kind of true. The only person who understands this is Brother Dalton, my best Adam Thompson impersonation. The truth is, we live a life that we're undercover Christians a lot of the time. And Nehemiah was a man, he was such a Christ-like person. It said at the end of verse number 1 in chapter number 2, now I had not been before time sad in his presence. And Nehemiah stands before the king, and the king asked him what was going on. Verse 4, then the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and then he begins to speak to him. And so many people want to take that verse right there and say, it was a quick prayer. I need a Nehemiah prayer, something right now. But man, if I go back to chapter number 1, that's not what I see. In chapter number 1, we mentioned this morning, I see someone with a burden. They are so burdened that they said, when I heard this news, I just had to sit down and weep and mourn and fast. I had no desire for the flesh. I mourned over the state of my people. I mourned over the state of my family. And tonight it'd be a great thing if we would get to a spot where we are so burdened about our lost family and the state of the church that we would be willing to mourn and to weep and to fast and to pray. And when you truly get burdened about something, here's what will happen. You will get burdened, and that burden will push you into prayer. Because when you get, here's my trick question. Can you save somebody? Can you make them sell out for God? Can you make them live right? You can't even handle you, much less somebody else. And when you get burdened for the souls of men and burdened for the souls of those around you, it will push you into a place of prayer. You will need to come before God and say, I can't, but I believe that you can. Now let's pause here for a little bit. If you don't allow your burden to push you to prayer, you will allow your burden to push you to worry. That is a sin. Be careful for nothing. Right? Not to be full of care and the anxiety that comes with that. There's a lot of people in this room, when you start, the reason you try to tune out that burden for your lost loved ones is because that burden always pushes you to a place of anxiety and pushes you to a place of worry, and that's because you're trying to tote it, you're trying to take care of it, you're trying to figure out how am I going to fix this problem. What you need to do is get like Nehemiah and kneel down and say, I can't. I need you to. I can't fix this. Have you figured out you can't fix it yet? And church, here's the reality. We're stepping into May, and this is the month we really focus on trying to reach the world with the gospel. Missions Conference to me is the most important conference we have for our church. I love Vacation Bible School, Teen Connection, it's evangelization in the area around us, but for us to come together, get in tune with God, to grow closer to Him, there's no greater revival than for God's people to get burdened about the souls of men. Amen. That's the reality of the burden we need to carry. But here's the other side of that. Oftentimes, we ignore the burden because we carry it and it allows us to step into worry and step into anxiety rather than stepping towards God and saying, God, I can't handle this. I need you to handle this. Now, some things about Nehemiah's prayer. He chose not to worry. He chose to step towards God. Now, again, he was so burdened, his countenance was fallen. It physically was affecting him, the burden he was carrying. You can be burdened to that point and not be in sin. If your burdens are being laid on him, I do not believe that you're in sin. If your burden is worrying you and you're toting that thing around all the time, that is sin. Understand? When he steps into prayer, though, I believe the way he structures his prayer is very important for us to see if we want to step into our prayer closet with a burden for lost souls and speak to God. Number one, his prayer, he steps in to confessing sin. Look at verse number 5. And I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. You don't need to try to cover up sin from God. He sees it. And when you confess sin to God, you're not informing him. He already knows about it. You're involving him. What's the Bible say in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's the first word? If. How many times do you find yourself so sick and tired of sin? Do you know why the church is not burdened about souls? Because we're comfortable in sin. Some things personally tonight. Your life, how much of your week is spent living in sin versus praying for souls? How much of your life is spent living in sin versus caring about the souls of men? The reason the church has become comfortable and complacent with entertainment and holding ourselves. And look, I'm not talking about the worldly church. I'm talking about independent, fundamental Baptist churches. We want to entertain ourselves. We want to have singing and all these things. And we want to get emotions built up. And we want to try to grow crowds with all these different... We don't care about souls for one second. How in the world can we walk around all the time, content everything's fine, when we have family members dying and going to hell? Why is... And church, I'm trying to help us tonight. But how can we say we're burdened about souls and we have lost family members and we don't even come to the altar and pray about it? When we ask for prayer requests, we try to talk about people who have physical ailments. When's the last time you got just absolutely burdened for someone with a spiritual ailment? Someone who's lost. Someone who needs to be saved. You understand, cancer will not send you to hell, but sin will send you to the place called hell. It's a serious problem. It's a pandemic, if you will. It's an issue all across the globe. And when you get burdened in prayer with God, the thing that needs to go first, if you want to build something with God, if you want to see God do something great, is you've got to start dealing with sin. And the reality is the world right now is filled with millions, if not billions, of people that are still toting around their sin that Jesus Christ already paid the debt for. You understand your lost loved ones don't need to do a thing to take care of their sin. It's already been done. They just need to put their faith in Jesus Christ that He did it. It's that simple. You say, preacher, is it really that easy? It's childlike faith. It's not doctorate in theology faith. And he steps into his prayer closet and he starts to confess his sin, everybody else's sin, all he could think about. Honestly, how many times do you start confessing sin and you're done in 15 seconds? Lord, please forgive me for all the times I sinned. I mean, is that real? I wonder how much time we spend confessing sin versus how much time we spend sinning. We're never going to get burdened about souls as long as we stay comfortable in our sin. And you're never going to be worth prayer for someone who needs to be saved if you spend all your time sinning and none of your time praying. And I wonder if we were honest tonight how much of our life we spend doing sinful things. And I could write down, I even put in my notes there, that how many abortions America does. And depending on who you ask, CDC says that in 2021, it was over 600,000 abortions. Can you imagine that? I said this morning, the population of our county is 120,000. That means five times as many people as live in our county were murdered on the low side of the statistic. I think it'd be an okay thing to get in your prayer closet and say, God, please forgive America. We've sinned. We've sinned. But you're not going to get bothered about other people's sin until you get bothered about your sin. Some other things I wrote down, and something that I feel like plagues our church is covetousness. And tonight, I understand this is practical preaching, but I'm trying to help us. The reality is, if you spend all your time on social media scrolling, you have a covet problem. It's built for that. You look on there and you see what everybody else is doing. You feel like you need that and you need this and you need that. Let me tell you what you need. You need the Word of God in your life. You don't need what someone else has on Facebook. You need what God intended for you to have right here. I believe if God really wanted you to still be in that person's life who lives in Timbuktu, you'd still be in that person's life. Yeah. Right. Amen. We spend so much time trying to keep up with somebody else, we have no idea what God's even saying. Why do we care about the size of our house if our family's dying and going to hell? Why do we care more about the things that we have, the stuff we have, that will rot and go away than the souls of men all over the globe? Because we're comfortable in our sin and we don't care about souls. Church, I wish tonight I could stand up and say everything's great on the front, but I feel like Nehemiah right now. When I look at the state of the church across the board, the walls are torn down, the people are in affliction, and the church sometimes looks like it. The people are barely hanging on. Listen to what I'm saying. We need to be standing up high. God has not changed. Amen. I'm not one of these guys who believes God's done and we're just winding down. I don't believe that one bit. I think when God's done with us, He'll take us out of here like He said He would. Amen. I believe God is the same yesterday, today, how long? And forever. I don't believe He's going to wind things down and we're just going to be... I do not see that anywhere in my Bible in context. Not one bit. We should be a church on fire for reaching souls. We have more tools at our disposal to reach the world than has ever been. But why is it that we take those tools that we could use to reach souls, and as church people, we take those tools to live in sin? Because we're more comfortable with our sin than we have a burden for souls. And if the church is like that, what do you think's going on out there? Let me ask you tonight, think about it. If you're not praying for your family, who is? We were talking this past week. We were at the pool and we had little kids running around, and whenever we all get together, there's six of them. Of course, two of them are usually on a hip still, so there's four of them running around. And all that happens when Emory gets added to R3 is instead of making sure three of them are good, now I'm counting four every single time. And no, I don't trust that mom's counting them. I count them. Because I want to know that they're all there. I'm not waking up every morning going, I'm not praying for my kids to get saved. Surely someone else is. No, I know someone is because I am. I know someone is praying for them because I'm praying for them. When's the last time you prayed like your prayer mattered? When's the last time you got with God and you prayed like, if God does not answer my prayer for that soul, that person will not get saved? Do you know why we don't pray like that? Because we're comfortable in sin and we're not burdened about souls. It's the truth. And Nehemiah looks at the state of his people. He said, do you know why we're in affliction? Do you know why we're in shambles? Do you know why the walls are torn down? It's because we're so comfortable in sin, we don't even care about souls. And if I looked at the state of the church in America, the reason that the walls are torn down and people are in affliction and all, we're more comfortable in sin than we're burdened for souls. Now he mentions this about, he confesses the sin, verse number 6, verse number 7. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. I want to be clear about sin. Sin is not just commission. Sin is also omission. Right. And for a few moments, if you've been saved more than 5 years, would you raise your hand? I'm talking to you. When is the last time you led someone to the Lord? When is the last time you told someone about Jesus? Now, everybody inside here who don't want to do it, you went, Jeremiah. You're not Jeremiah. If I take my Bible in context in the church age, God was adding to the church daily. Do you know how you see fruit? You plant seeds. Every single person you give the gospel to is not going to get saved. Every single person Jesus preached to didn't get saved. You're not better than him. But there were people who got saved because he kept preaching. We have a responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's a great thing. I think with Missions Conference in the next several weeks, you should be praying. And I think even right now, you should be given a faith promise. You should be given a missions. I believe every single person, I believe every baby in this room should be participating in faith promise giving. Absolutely. Why would you take that blessing away from your child? Every person in my house participates in faith promise giving. I'm the only one with a paying job. Every single month, some way, shape, or form, Ashley gets her own faith promise given. That has helped our faith over this past year so much to see God provide that every single time. He does that. But that's not the only thing we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to just give. We're called to go unto all the world and preach the gospel. We are told to pray without ceasing. We are told to redeem the time. I could keep going. Sing as unto the Lord. Us who've been saved for more than 5 years, we honestly, to whom much is given, much is required, we have no excuse not to be serving and burdened for souls. No excuse. In church, I know today's messages are kind of hard, but there's something we need to get to. Can you imagine standing before God and Him saying, why did you not tell more people about me? And you say, because it was hard. What about when he died? How hard do you think that was? Can you imagine? It would be like this. Me walking up to someone. Can you imagine if we had a veteran walking out here tonight? Who had both his legs blown off in battle. And him sit right here. And me go, brother, I know how you feel. I got an ingrown toenail right here. And that thing hurts me bad. How many of you would look at me and say, you're an idiot? Our Savior, who never sinned one time, was beaten until he was unrecognizable, stripped naked, nailed to a tree until he suffocated, bled out, and died. And you're going to say, I can't tell people about you because it's hard. I didn't have time. Aren't you glad he made time? I mean, honestly, I want you to step into these shoes for a minute and say, what are you going to say when you stand in front of him? How would you say? You're going to be in one judgment. Every single person in this room will be in one of two judgments. And you will stand before God and you'll give account for the deeds done in his body. And you will stand there and he'll say, why did you not tell more people about me? It was hard. I was tired. I was too busy. Have you heard anything yet that makes sense? None of the excuses are going to work. And he's looking at the children of Israel and he's saying, we know the commandments. We've heard them. We know the Bible. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you know enough scripture right now. I'd say almost everybody in this room has at least enough scripture memorized to lead someone to the Lord. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's all you need. You know enough. What are we doing with it? And we are so hung up looking at the world and their sin. No, if you want to be used of God, you need to get burdened about your sin. And say, Lord, we have sinned as a people, the church, me. Look what he said at the end of verse number 6. But both I and my father's house have sinned. If you get burdened about souls and you get burdened about the state of God's people, it will drive you to him in prayer. And the first thing you need to deal with is sin. Oh, if you want to be used by God, you've got to give up sin and start being burdened about souls. I don't know how many times I can say it tonight for it to make sense. You say, preacher, you keep saying the same thing over and over. I'm hoping at some point in time it's going to stick. Because the truth is, I've heard this all my life. Why are we not doing it? You know how much preaching's been preached right here behind this pulpit? I haven't even preached here nearly enough to even scratch the surface. Ma'am, I wonder how many sermons Papa preached standing right here. The last year of his life pastoring this church, there would have been an oxygen line coming right there, and he would stand behind this pulpit with an oxygen tank on. The man wasn't physically able to live without help and would stand here faithfully 3 times a week and preach the Word of God. I say amen for that. The revivals we've seen. Brother Billy Mitchell preaches more Bible in one message than most preachers do in a month. I remember the revival with Luther Spivey climbing that wall over there screaming like explaining what hell would be like. I've heard stories about Sammy Allen preaching over there with people laying right here. I've walked in the door and seen Matthew Morgan sitting right here just crying because God's so thick in the place. We've been here for 3.5 hours and he ain't even preached yet. There's been so much preaching right here, and we have so many Bibles. How many people? You have more than one copy of Scripture. Verse 9, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, you can memorize all the Bible you want. If you don't do it, it ain't going to help you. To whom much is given, much is required. In church, we've been given much. We're a blessed people. I'm not sure if you know this, but I hope you do. We're a blessed people. You see all these babies around here? Do you see the white hair in here? We got both. I know people who don't. The music tonight, If you can play the piano enough where you could play during the service, would you just raise your hand real quick, please? If you could play the piano enough where you could play in a service, would you raise your hand so we can see how many piano players we have tonight? One, two, three, four. His hands are no good. Five. Kayla's somewhere around here. Six. I have at least six piano players here tonight. Hey, Emery. Some churches don't even have one. Look at this building. It's not all a building, but look what God's given us. Church, we have no debt. You know how many pastors have a lot of debt? One of the first things guys ask when they come through their one building, they say, "Preacher, how much debt do you guys have?" None. We paved the parking lot last year. No debt. Since I've been pastor, we've replaced every furnace and every HVAC in this joint except for one. Not by choice. They just keep going out. No debt. God just keeps meeting the needs. Why are we so comfortable in sin? Tonight, let me ask you. Why are you comfortable in sin? Do you spend more time in sin than you spend burdened about souls? When's the last time your family drove you to a spot of weeping, mourning, fasting, and praying? Because church, I know this is blunt, but this is true. You don't care about a kid in Kenya if you don't care about your family. You can put money in faith promise, and I want you to. I hope our faith promise is twice what it was last year. I say amen. But you can put money in a plate. If you don't care about the souls of the people who live across the street, you don't care about the souls of people in Ukraine. We can put up sad pictures and kind of twist on your heart for a little bit, but the reality is we're so comfortable in sin. We're not even praying for souls. I wonder how many people tonight, I'm not going to ask you to stand, we're not going to play music again. I just want you to be honest with God. How many people would come to an altar tonight and say, "God, forgive me of my sin. I want you to save souls. And I want you to think about your lost family members that you want to pray for. And before you even get to their name tonight, would you deal with some sin before you get there? Do you know what can't get into heaven? Sin. You know what hinders your prayer life? Sin. Tonight, if God's dealt with your heart, would you stand out of your seat and come to an altar tonight?